The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If God commands us not to be anxious or not to be worrying, then is it a sin? Did Jesus ever have anxiety? What about people who suffer under what is called an anxiety disorder? What would God want most for a person who is suffering under such a thing? Let's talk about anxiety today. This is Grace in Focus, and we are glad that you are with us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find many articles, a bookstore, a subscription-free magazine, a seminary, and a conference ministry. Find out more about all of these by going to our website, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
Sam, you've been getting some questions. Where did they come? Did they come from people calling or writing in or whatever about anxiety?
Yeah, specifically a couple people that I've talked to over the phone have called. And sometimes it's not even a question, but they'll just mention how they want me to pray for them, and then they're asking God for forgiveness for their sin of worry or fearfulness. It comes from that verse in Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Actually, Ken Yates did a really good blog about this that y'all should check out, explaining more of the context of it. But specifically, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to him, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And people that I've talked to say, right there, Paul says, don't be anxious. So that means if you're anxious, that's a sin.
So they interpret their own anxiety
right.
as sin. But of course, as Sam is saying, I think we all recognize anxiety is a feeling. In other words,
feeling or a state of being or a disorder sometimes.
And I deal with anxiety a lot. And I think it has to do with the fact that I grew up in an alcoholic family. And I've got some level of PTSD where lots of nights, 2, 3 in the morning, my dad would come in and my parents would get in a big argument and there'd be a lot of yelling and throwing things and I'd be up. And you go through that over time, it has a negative impact on you, kind of like being in a war zone. Well, I have some of that. I mean, I've never been diagnosed as having PTSD, but I know if I hear a loud noise or anything, other people would, you know, maybe flinch a little bit. I'm jumping off the ground. As you know, I'm training for a marathon now, and I'm out all the time. Today I did 12 miles earlier today. I'm supposed to do a marathon in a week, so that's 26.2. But when I'm out there, if someone is on a bike and they're coming by me, they'll say, "On your left." And as soon as I hear the I'm jumping. And nobody else does that, but I'm like moving. And it's because I've got this kind of overreaction to things. So I tend to be more anxious than most people. And I don't view it as sin. And the reason I don't view it as sin is it's not that I don't believe God. It's not that I'm not relying upon God. It's just my initial reaction to lots of things is stress.
Right.
I get through it, you know, and I get past it.
Yeah, that's the distinction. There's many things, human emotions, that we can't control that are responses. So fear is a natural response. If you're not afraid of a wild animal, then you're probably just dead. So I guess you don't need to worry about it anymore. But fear is a natural response. Anger is a natural response to pain. Anxiety is a natural response to things like you've said, past trauma or things outside your control. So that in and of itself is not sin. It's what you let that feeling lead you to do. If you get angry and then you hit someone, now you've sinned. The anger wasn't necessarily the sin, but you let that anger take control of you. So with anxiety, being anxious isn't the sin, but if you're not trusting God that he is in control and that he loves you in those things, then that can lead you into sin where you start developing whatever it is, bad coping mechanisms, or you make poor decisions, or you push people away because of that anxiety. But the anxiousness isn't the sin. It's just a natural response to whatever kind of thing is occurring in your life.
Yeah, and there's two things. One, you mentioned a blog by Ken. In the blog, Ken mentions that you can't just pick Philippians 4:6 out and not look at the context. Mm-hmm. And he said when you look at the context, he starts in verses 1 and following, and he's talking about these two women named Euodia and Syntyche. These were two women that were Paul's co-workers. They were important people in his ministry, but they had some sort of a brouhaha. There's different names for that.
A kerfuffle.
There it is. I was trying to think of kerfuffle. I love that word. Anyway, they had a kerfuffle, and he's saying, no, look, ladies, you need to get along. And then he mentions Clement, which is one of his co-workers, and he said, these ladies and Clement and his other co-workers, their names are in the book of life. Mm-hmm. Hey, your fellow believers, you need to get along. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. This is a statement about the soon return of Christ. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. Mm-hmm. And Ken points out that this anxiousness or worry or whatever is related to the conflict between the two women.
And that's supported by 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul uses the same Greek word that's used there for worry or anxiety or care. And he says it's also in a church context. Don't worry about these things. Worry about one another. Care for one another.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
And Paul also talks about the fact that he has a constant concern for all the churches, right? I don't think he's using the same exact Greek word, but the point is, this Greek word is not used negatively in other contexts. It's used positively.
Yeah, throughout his writing, it's usually translated as care, and it's usually in the positive, care for things. Where it's usually used negatively is in Christ, where he's speaking. He uses it in the negative, saying, do not worry. Why are you worried? You need not worry, those things. But he is providing the reason why they don't need to be worried. If you're not a believer, then you need to be worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. But if you are a believer and you set your sights on the kingdom, then all those things are going to come after.
Seek first the kingdom and all mm-hmm. these things will be added. And he says, who can add even a cubit or a span to their height by being worried? And he also talks about don't worry about your clothing or don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from. And his basic point here is if we're focusing on Christ and serving Christ, we know he's going to meet our basic needs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. The Lord does use it negatively, but the context is different.
Right. He has the ability to tell us, you don't need to worry about this. If a person comes up to you and tells you, you know, don't worry about eating or wearing clothes, that's not the same thing as Christ right. saying, you don't need to worry about those things because you have this peace, you have your needs are going to be met by these things. And I think that's where, even with the context of Philippians 4, I think we could kind of synthesize that with Christ's writings, where Paul then says, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I think that is the same kind of thing that Christ is talking about when he says, don't worry about these things, because it's you can be at peace with those things. It's not just don't worry, it's don't worry and have peace, set your sights on the kingdom, those things. So you can't take those verses in isolation. You have to look at the context.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind is Philippians 4:6 is pretty much an isolated verse. In other words, we don't see this repeated all through the New Testament, be anxious for nothing. It's in a specific context. It's got a specific point to it. And it is used positively elsewhere within the same author's writings. I think a more balanced approach to anxiety / worry / care, because the same Greek word can be translated all three things, is that excessive concern for the basics in life, like food, clothing, and shelter, is wrong. But to have a basic concern for food, clothing, or shelter is not wrong. The Lord wasn't condemning someone for saying, hey, if I lose my job, I should be concerned about getting another one, right? Paul says, if anyone won't work, let him not eat. Mm-hmm. If a person is capable of working and they're unwilling to work, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we need to recognize that the Lord wants us to meet the basic needs of our family, to be concerned or to care about the needs of our spouse, the needs of our children, the needs of others. But on the other hand, it can't be excessive, and it can't be with an attitude that, oh, God doesn't care or God's not concerned, because God does care. And ultimately, we know that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he's going to meet our basic needs. And so, we have a part to play, you know, and I think part of the problem here, Sam, is that a lot of the people who get really concerned about Philippians 4:6 are people who tend to have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or generalized anxiety disorder, or they deal with a lot of anxiety. And guess what happens? This verse ratchets up their anxiety. It makes them more anxious.
Yeah, this will send you down a spiral if you think it. You're sinning, and then you're worried about that sin, and now that's a sin. So,
and then you're confessing it, but you're like, but I still feel anxious. And so people need to realize, no, the Lord's not asking us not to have feelings. What he's saying is we need to get along with others in the body of Christ. That's the context here. And if we have some sort of issues with other believers, deal with those issues, and God's peace will reign in the local church.
Mm-hmm.
That's the context here. Part of the problem, too, is people think that this peace here is some kind of feeling. It's not really a feeling. It's people getting along.
Yeah, and it's the understanding that only comes once you understand the things that Jesus promised. Because, like I said, if you're not a believer, none of this applies. You still need to be worried about all these things. You should be worried about these things. But if you are a believer, you don't need to feel overwhelming anxiety or that worry because of the things that Jesus promised and the things he's offered you.
That's good. You're still
going to, though. Just like we don't need to sin anymore because we're not slaves to sin. But we still will, because we still have a human nature.
Yeah, and then we acknowledge the sins, and we're forgiven and cleansed, and we keep walking in fellowship with God. Well, we're out of time, but thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. And let's all remember to keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, if God is not willing that any should perish and wants all saved, why is it difficult for some to receive? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.